I'm Mark Simpson, and this is Intersection. It's Election Day, and Central Florida is crucial to both campaigns trying to win the White House. Mitt Romney visited the Orlando area more than any other place in this important swing state. Barack Obama has more campaign offices here than anywhere else in Florida. Who will win the Sunshine State? What does it mean to the presidential election, and what role will Central Florida play? 90.7's political commentators Dick Batchelor and Lou Fry will preview election night and all the important races. Plus, what does the rest of the world think about the presidential election and Florida? I'll talk with journalists from Ethiopia and East Timor. That's ahead on Intersection. I'm joined by 90.7 political commentators Dick Batchelor and Lou Fry. Dick Batchelor is a former Democratic State House representative, head of the Dick Batchelor Management Group. Great to have you with us, sir.
Thank you. Good to be back. And it is almost over.
Yahoo!
It is almost over. Also with Lou Fry, former Republican congressman, attorney with Lounsdraw, Stickdoster, Cantor and Reed. Lou, great to have you with us.
There's never each race you think is going to be somewhat like the past, and you can learn from it. This one's going to set its own standards.
Well, let me ask you about that, Lou Fry. Here we are. We're still not sure what the outcome of the race is going to be. But what do you think are the lessons from this past election season?
Well, have a lot of money, unfortunately, and be willing to spend it. Bring into a congressional district $1 million from a guy who's trying to run New York City in a pretty lousy way. And
you're talking about Michael Bloomberg. He's going to give money to Barack Obama.
Yeah. And also the fact that the campaigns go on forever. I mean, we've already started on the next one, literally. And we've got to do something about the money that's spent. We have to. It's killing our system. Truly is.
Big changes to the system. Dick Batchelor, what do you see as the lessons so far of the 2012 election season?
Well, I'm thinking of the word self-flagellation, but maybe it's not that appropriate. Running the gauntlet might be better. Observations. One is the Republican primary was, when the Democrats have no primary, obviously all the attention's turned to the Republican primary. It was an interesting process of winnowing out the candidates. I thought that was interesting. And to Lou's point, though, if you combine all the money being spent by the presidential campaigns, $1 billion apiece, U.S. Senate races, aggregate those, congressional races, aggregate those, probably $6 billion will be spent. So it begs the question for the average voter, does my vote still count?
Put that money to education, flip a coin. We might be better off.
Absolutely.
Well, let me ask you the question that's on a lot of people's minds. Polls showing President Barack Obama, Mitt Romney virtually tied in Florida. Florida, of course, among those most important of swing states. It's got 29 electoral votes, more than any other swing state. So who do you think wins Florida tonight, and why, Dick Batchelor?
It's hard to tell because I don't know what the ground game is. Now, Barack Obama's campaign is extraordinarily well organized. A lot of people on the ground. But then again, the Romney campaign is a lot better organized on the ground than McCain ever was. So the ground game could be competitive. If I were to kind of take all the polls and put them together, if I went to Casadega and you asked me for my opinion, I think Romney probably carries Florida by a very slim margin. But I think the president carries electoral votes.
The interesting part is it's partly answered by the Obama campaign.
By the fact that just Michelle Obama coming in for that last-minute push?
Yeah, I think Dick and I would agree with that. I think that's it, and that's sort of a sign that, we're in good shape there. We can divert some of their assets there. But if he thought he was really going to win it, he would be here campaigning like Bush did. So I think that's Florida. However, I think the situation nationally, the same way, and it's hard to tell because we're, like Ohio. Who knows what's going to happen? I think Colorado, for instance, will go Republican.
Do you think Mitt Romney is confident then that he's going to win Florida, or is he coming to Florida on Monday because he's unsure of what could happen?
I don't think anybody's confident of anything. I think confident is a wrong word. I think in their game plan, they figure they have a good chance of carrying Florida, and they're not doing anything to back off from putting the assets in they need.
So keep in mind, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Dick.
And keep in mind, too, he needs Florida to win. Obama can win without Florida, But Romney, if he didn't have Florida and he loses Ohio, it's over. So he needs both of those states. So that's where you see where they're flying around to. Let me give you two things. One is more empirical. That is, there's a website called 538, and this guy takes all the polls and he aggregates all the polls. He makes projections, and he's got 4 out of 5 chances for Obama will win the electoral votes. One. Secondly, this past weekend I took a delegation from Indonesia out to see Neil Bortz and Herman Cain. It was interesting because Herman Cain says, I'm cautiously optimistic. Neil Bortz says, I'm neither at all. In fact, he thinks that the president's going to win. I say that to say that when you've got really conservative talk show hosts saying either I'm optimistic, conservatively optimistic, and you've got one saying, I think it's over, you know, that's not exactly the rah-rah you need for the last touchdown.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do you think Lou Frey means? If President Obama loses Florida, what does that mean then for other Republican races in this state, looking primarily at that U.S. Senate contest, Bill Nelson
Coattails.
And Connie Mack?
The only way that Nelson agrees and everybody agrees, including Mack and including Nelson, is that Romney's got to have coattails.
Yeah.
And if he has coattails, the race is close enough now that it could make a difference. And also, the Senate is still messed up. I think we'll talk about it later. I think the Democrats are going to carry it by a little bit. But it's still messed up. And this race could be the one that decides control of the United States Senate.
Take me inside that, Dick Batchelor. Do you think, is Bill Nelson still concerned about Connie Mack at this point? Polls have showed him with a slight edge.
Well, you're always concerned when you're an incumbent or even the opposing candidate. But I think what's happening in this race is interesting. And Lou and I talked about it early on. We said watch the contributions from the Republican Senate Campaign Committee and independent PACs. If they think he can win, they'll dump a lot of money in. They don't think he can, they'll measure their contributions and give him some. He has not gotten the contributions. And fortunately, Bill Nelson was smart enough to hold his money back. It's $12 plus million.
Which he raised practically a year ago.
Absolutely. But I would say this about coattails. If Romney has coattails, they're like the Ike jacket. You remember the little short Ike jackets? There's not much of a coattail to it. Even though it's close, I still think it's with a 6-vote margin, I still think Nelson carries it. I think he beats.
So you feel the Senate, too, is going to be Democratic?
Yeah, I think the Senate. Yeah. If you look at the Senate races nationwide, and one final thing about Romney, you know, he came out after the second debate and he had a lift. The fact is his numbers went up, but Barack Obama's numbers never came down, so to speak. But they haven't met yet. And the question for Romney, he's in a margin of error, but margin of error, you only need 1 point to win. You only need one vote to win. So I think his momentum started out. We didn't have any. We've got some now. And now if you look at the voter turnout, now it's about 5 points less than it was in 2008 to lose point.
What do you think, Lou Frey? You talk about coattails and associations. We've seen Connie Mack campaigning with Mitt Romney and Paul
sure.
Ryan in recent weeks. Does that make a positive association in voters' minds, or people even recognize that Connie Mack's on that stage?
No, they give the Senate candidate. He'll have recognition in that, and they've cut some ads for him. I think Jeb Bush has cut some ads.
And Governor Bush out campaigning too.
Yeah, so
I think he should have worn like a baseball uniform.
Yeah. So, this all goes back to George Lemieux and some Republicans who ran against in the primary, who ran against Mack and put these ads up that were pretty vicious. They're still running. That same ad has run now for 6 months, and the reason it's running, it's a negative ad, and it works. If people want to know why you run negative ads, this campaign is a classic one to look at somebody who basically his image was destroyed, if you will, by his own party.
And that's one thing we did learn, too. It was at Reagan, talked about the 11th Amendment.
The 11th Amendment.
Don't speak ill against your primary opponent because she would come back and hurt you. And Lemieux, what Lemieux said by saying he's really kind of the Charlie Sheen of politics, or Connie Mack is, they just stayed on that and stayed on that and stayed on that. So that's another thing we learned. The other thing I think we've learned is, where is Rick Scott?
Yes, I was going to get to that. Let's talk about that.
Uh-huh.
Rick Scott.
Rick who?
Governor Scott.
Governor Scott.
He was out with Mitt Romney Monday in Sanford, but overall, he hasn't had very many appearances on that campaign trail. I think that's what you're alluding to, Dick Batchelor.
Alluded to it. In fact, the governor's numbers are eking up a bit, and eke is a practical term. He's still under 40% in popularity. So you go pick Jeb Bush, who's got the Bush name. He was a great governor, and people liked him on both sides of the aisle, and you run around with him. The fact is, and I'm going to be pleasant about this, the governor doesn't have the political currency necessary to offer any lift to the Romney campaign.
Yeah, as in they don't need him.
No.
Yeah, and on the other hand, when you look at Nelson, Nelson from the very start decided that he wasn't going to wrap himself around Obama.
Early on, some distance between Nelson and
And he kept that distance pretty much, only on a few occasions actually appearing with him. So he's playing it safe, and the president is not going to be overly happy about that. But on the other hand, the president wants the Senate to be Democratic.
He'll
so Nelson's got some leverage in terms of what he can do and who he can keep happy.
He'll be happy if Nelson is there.
And I bet if he wins, you know, LBJ used to say, once you win, you can be magnanimous.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 WMFE-FM. I'm talking with 90.7 political commentators Dick Batchelor and Lou Frey, Democrat Dick Batchelor, former State House Representative, Republican Lou Frey, former Congressman. I'm Mark Simpson. Are you voting today? Well, you can tell us about your experience online. Facebook and Twitter, email intersection at WMFE.org. Let's talk about that early voting and voting leading up to Election Day here. About 4 million Floridians already cast their ballots through absentee and early voting. And, of course, we saw just around the corner in Winter Park, there was a bit of a snaggle on Saturday's early voting, shut down for a little bit. Lawsuit filed over the weekend by Democrats did get some extended early voting around Florida, and some supervisor elections opens to accept absentee ballots. But what do you make in terms of the turnout, Lou Frey, for early voting? 4 million Floridians already casting their ballots. Do you think it favors Republicans or Dems?
Well, I know the Republicans worked hard at it in the absentee ballot program, which they had a pretty good one. But the Democrats also worked pretty hard at it, and Obama has a pretty good ground game. So I think whoever came out of that thing didn't come out with any number that's that you can't overcome by the voting on Election Day.
Dick Batchelor, Democrats not happy about the early voting situation.
Well, the fact is, as far as how they break, you know, whether early voting, absentee voting, how they break, it's close probably by a few percentage points. But I think the Republicans have made a mistake on this voting. Of course, you alluded to the bomb scare in the Winter Park Library. They closed it down, and there was a lawsuit to reopen it up. In my opinion, the Republicans made a big mistake by counter-suing because it looks like, what I think, voter suppression. You know, why are they counter-suing? They already got a bad reputation for passing legislation to lessen the number of days you can vote. They closed the polls on Sunday before the election, so souls through the polls, the black community is affected. So why counter-sue?
I just want to say, in terms of my own voting experience, I voted past Saturday, went out to the Orange County Supervisor's office, and the mood was festive. It was like
festive.
A block party. There was music being pumped out, people out giving water, and I was in and out within an hour.
Yeah, that's so good. We were down there with our Indonesia delegation watching how the process works, and it was really interesting. And I think over 3,000 people voted at that location, and then total 6,000 at their 10 locations on Saturday.
Should make it easy for people to vote and just make sure you give them water without anything in it.
Right.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about some of these congressional races. Dan Webster, Republican, is facing off against Orlando Police Chief Val Demings.
New York mayor. What was his name? Bloomberg.
That's a great magazine.
This is you guys. Oh, man. This is an interesting race. Is Webster in any kind of danger?
Webster event on Friday. I wanted to see him and wish him luck and ask him, about the contributions and so forth coming against him. And Dan said they've run the same kind of campaign for 20 years. They got a whole bunch of people, I don't know, 100 a day out knocking on doors. Mm-hmm. They've been doing that. We'll continue to do it. The money obviously is a negative. They can't match that kind of money, but they have enough to do it. And so the question really is Webster's ground game once again going to be good enough to beat a candidate who is running behind? Demings is running behind. And fight off the mayor of New York, who's a multimillionaire. It's not an easy race that he's got.
Dick Batchelor, first attempt for Val Demings as an elected official. What do you make of her campaign so far and chances on Election Day?
Well, one excellent candidate is former police chief of Orlando. Very sharp, obviously, number one. And she raised money. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee said, prove to us you can win, raise $500,000. Then they gave her another $500,000. So she probably had spent almost $2 million. And then, as Lou alluded to, Michael Bloomberg, with his new PAC, gives her $1.1 million a week.
Now, you were the first one to figure that out.
$1.1 million. And so the fact is, that's not an easy number. I mean, it's not a marginal number. Does it have an impact? Absolutely have an impact. Depending on what she spends her money on, it has an impact in that race.
And that is, I think, in some ways, a more interesting contest to look at than Alan Grayson versus Todd Long. Grayson, the Democratic former congressman, running against Todd Long, who is a longtime Republican candidate himself. Who do you think wins this race? Does Grayson topple Long, Lou Fry, in this congressional
district? Well, the public,
district?
First place, the public doesn't win. I mean, you're getting someone up there who's going to be non-effective no matter what happens. And so you've got a seat that could be used for a lot of good things that isn't going to happen. Of course, Grayson, with his ability to put money in the campaign, in the Republican campaign, to get the candidate that he thought was easiest to beat, he did that. And then, of course, he has his own checkbook to be able to write. And it'd be very difficult. There'd have to be long coattails, like from here to Kissimmee.
No pun intended there with long, I take it.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Dick Batchelor, what do you say?
We've said it's over. I mean, the district number one is a new district. It was supposed to be, as Lou indicated, Hispanic-leaning district. The fact is that Alan Grayson politically, strategically, was brilliant. He spent all of his money to beat the strongest guy,
John Quiones.
Ended up with Todd Long, who's only raised maybe $60,000 or $70,000 against Alan Grayson's $2 million. And it's a Democrat district. So he was an interesting, telling thing, though. The Orlando Sentinel refused to endorse either candidate.
Yes.
I can't remember that in all the years I've been in this.
Just refused to endorse either.
Interesting outcome, to be sure, in that race. But let me just ask you guys, too, briefly, state legislature, do you see any change coming in terms of Democratic numbers?
You mean of control?
Yes. Do Democrats gain anything, really, in this game where they've been shut out so long in Tallahassee?
If Grayson decides to be a Republican, you're probably going to – that'll be happen before you see a change.
Oh, change in the legislature.
Oh, Lou Fry. All right.
Before you see
the answer is no. The State House will be probably two-thirds Republican controlled. The only thing they
what
can
about
hope,
the Senate?
The
then?
Senate, the only thing they can hope for is they need one more seat, so at least they can stop a two-thirds vote, supermajority. If they have one more seat, they can stop a supermajority on some constitutional amendments and things like that, and they can negotiate. But that's the best we can hope for, candidly.
Well, we've been speaking with 90.7 political commentators Dick Batchelor and Lou Fry. Dick Batchelor, former State House Representative, Democrat, now head of the Dick Batchelor Management Group. And Lou Fry, former Republican congressman, now with Lowndes, Drostek, Doster, Kanner, and Reed.
And the Fry Institute.
And the Fry Institute, University of Central Florida. Let me say, gentlemen, it's great to talk to you, and we'll look forward to speaking to you on Wednesday evening's program, airing at 6:30 in the evening, when we know, hopefully, all the results here.
Make sure we're in a building on the first floor, in case.
In case one of us wants to jump or push the other one. We'll see how it turns out.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Very good. Dick and Lou, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Up next, the presidential election from an international perspective. WMFE is hosting two international journalists to cover the presidential election through a partnership with the International Center for Journalists. Tito da Costa is a radio journalist from East Timor. He's with RTTLE.EP Broadcasting. Tito, great to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm also joined by Samuel Ndali from Ethiopia. He is a broadcast journalist for radio with Fana Broadcasting.
Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to have you too.
I want to know from you two international journalists, why is the U.S. presidential election so important to your radio listeners in Ethiopia and East Timor? Tito, why is this election important for your listeners back home?
Yes, it is very important for us as international journalists. As you know, that we are a democratic country, but just 10 years independence. And now I have covered some stories related to the candidates' campaign in Florida and some stories in Washington. It is quite different. Because based on my observation in 1 week in Florida, the candidates attack each other, but the people is not reacted. But while in my country, when the candidate during the campaign they attack each other. Militants or the supporter will react. That's the kind of experience that I feel in during my stay in Florida.
The public reacts in different ways compared to in East Timor. Samuel Ndali from Ethiopia, what is your view on why it is so important for you to bring back information to your listeners in Ethiopia about U.S. presidential elections?
Good, nice question. It's very important for me, for my media, and for my country too, to benchmark the democratic process and the election process of America. And we are electing our prime minister 4 years in between, so that it's good to be here and to know, to see the process of election, the way the candidates campaign, the way the people say about the candidates, the freedom.
Do you feel like, does the average person in your home country recognize the names of Mitt Romney and Barack Obama?
Yeah. American election is not for Americans only. It's all over the world. It's known. And everybody is keen and focused to follow the election process. Because in one way or another, it affects its country's relationship with the United States. And especially in foreign issues, we are very much concerned about East Africa, because America is working a good job in avoiding terrorism, so that there in Ethiopia, we have a stable country, but in an unstable region. Al-Qaeda is operating in that region. So that we want to know whether the elected American president is so serious about these things and work together.
Tito, talk to me about the recognition factor of the American presidential candidates, Mitt Romney and surely Barack Obama, who had his own childhood somewhat in Indonesia. What is the perception of American elections in that region of the world?
I think in my country, East Timor, Barack Obama is very famous there. I don't know, because he's black skin, as same as Timor is, or I don't know. But I think American election is, I think, affected to the East Timor people. You know, Bill Clinton, the former president, and also Hillary Clinton just visited East Timor, and American embassy in Dili played very important role in terms of supply some grant for education and the social and cultural development in East Timor. So the people are in East Timor is eager to know about the American election.
Samuel, do you think that President Obama has a bigger place maybe in the hearts of the people of Ethiopia because he's part Kenyan? Is he seen as kind of an African president because of his father's heritage, being from an African country?
Yeah, but people are conscious today. They don't see only the color. They see the policy, the strategy, the future. And Barack Obama said a lot of things when in 2008 election. But he's on the right track. Many people say that see that as a development, not as much as they expected, but in a good position. So that with the Arab world, with the Africans, with the Asians, with all of the nations, he tries to build a smooth relationship, a good correlated relationship between the country and the people.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 WMFE-FM. I'm talking with two international journalists who are in Florida staying with WMFE for the presidential election to observe it. Samuel Ndala is from Ethiopia. Tito da Costa is from East Timor. I'm Mark Simpson. Are you from another country? How is the U.S. presidential election different from elections in your home country? Tell us about it online, Facebook, and Twitter. Send an email to intersection@wmfe.org. Samuel Ndale, what is the most difference in terms of the political system in Ethiopia that you see compared to the U.S.?
Yeah, there are some differences. You have here a president, we have a prime minister. There are a lot of parties campaigning, and the people listen to the media, and they use the media. So we are in good position. But the difference is here there are many, it's freer than ours. There are jokes and ridiculing the candidates. The candidates have adverts, a lot of adverts in television, radio. We don't have such things a little bit.
Is it just then the candidates going out and speaking directly to the people?
Yeah. They just speak to the people and express their platform, their policies in television and radio, too. And there is this face-to-face contact and arguing with each other, too.
Do you think is the, you mentioned the ridiculing of candidates, yeah, which happens in U.S. media in terms of comedy shows and this sort of thing, is that a reflection of the culture in Ethiopia, or does that have to do with media regulations? Is that that the media is not as free or open, or would you say is it more of a cultural reflection of respect?
It is. It's not the media that's not preventing it, but it's. I think it's a cultural barrier. We are more of a shy society and respecting each other. We're not as open as that when you come to ridiculing presidents, candidates.
Let me ask you about that, Tito. In East Timor, is there this culture of making jokes about candidates and this sort of thing? And do you think is that a reflection of culture, or is that a difference in the media system?
I think it is because of the media system. We just have one biggest radio and TV public in East Timor.
Is it a state broadcaster?
Yeah.
Samuel, what is your impression, I guess, of American culture coming over here, and what's been the reality that you've experienced?
The voters are open. They are very much committed to the candidate who in whom they support. They are very honest, straightforward, direct. Even the candidates are very honest and tell people what they should do and things like that.
Well, it's certainly been great talking with you folks. It's Samuel Ndale, who is a journalist from Ethiopia, and Tito Da Costa, who is from East Timor. Very nice to speak with you, gentlemen, and we certainly look forward to hearing more of your reflections.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Conversation about what's happening in Florida politics continues online, wmfe.org/intersection, to find out more. There you can also sign up for our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners. Our assistant producer is the Amy Green. I'm Mark Simpson, and thanks for listening.